We are continuing our study in the book of Job. We are still in the 7th chapter of Job, and last time we'd gotten into the 20th verse. The 20th verse reads like this: I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? So Job talks about the fact that he sinned. He admits that he sinned. He complains about the fact that he's been set as a mark against God, so that God may be using him as a target for his arrows. And he complains that he'd been made a burden to himself. That is, his own life was so heavy for him, he was ready to sink under that load. And we talked more about those features of this verse in our last lesson. But let's notice this verse also, verse 20, shows that Job does sincerely inquire how he may make peace with God. He says, what shall I do unto thee? Having done so much against thee, what can I do for thee? Job admits sin. And we may ask ourselves, are we convinced that we've sinned? And are we admitting our sin? We must admit that something must be done to prevent the fatal consequence of sin. The matter of sin must not be allowed to just rest as it is. Sin has consequences. Something must be done to undo our crimes against God. And if we are truly aware of the danger we're in, we shall be willing to do anything. We will take a pardon on any terms. Therefore, we shall be asking, like Job, what shall we do unto thee? In Micah 6, verses 6 through 8, wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. In Acts 2, 37-38, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what shall we do to God? That's the question. Not to satisfy the demands of his justice, that's done by the mediator. We can't satisfy the justice of God. But what shall we do to qualify ourselves for his favor according to the terms of the gospel covenant? We have a covenant with God. There are terms in this covenant, and we want to qualify for those terms. When we make this request to God, it's good to look upon God as the preserver or savior of men and not the destroyer of men. In our repentance, we must have good thoughts of God and realize that he delights in having his creatures return and live and takes no pleasure in the ruin of any person. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants all to repent. He wants all to have the opportunity to repent. But if they don't repent, there's consequences. And these consequences are very, very severe. Now, verse 21 of Job 7. And why dost thou not pardon my transgression, and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Here Job earnestly begs for forgiveness of his sins. His condition causes him to give forth bitter complaints on one hand, but on the other hand, his suffering made his prayers more persistent. Why dost thou not pardon my transgressions, he asked. Are you not a God of infinite mercy, who is ready to forgive? Have you not brought about repentance in me? Why do you not pardon my sin and give me the joy and gladness that goes with pardon? If I can just have the comfort of your great pardon, then I can bear my trials. Job is asking for more than just ease of afflictions. He's wanting the great comfort that comes from pardon. This comfort we all desire. And we truly can have comfort with pardon, but we can never have comfort without pardon. Matthew 9:2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Even before he was cured of the palsy, he could be of good cheer because the sins were forgiven. And even if he'd had the palsy cured and still had his sins, then there would have been no real good reason for good cheer. When the mercy of God forgives the transgressions committed by us, then the grace of God takes away the iniquity that reigns over us. To be free from the bondage of sin is to be free indeed. Wherever God removes the guilt of sin, he removes the power of sin. Job shows how urgent his request for pardon is. Job's urgent need for forgiveness was necessary. He says, "For now shall I sleep in the dust." Job felt that his death was imminent. Forgiveness of sins can only be obtained before death, never after death. And so we should be most earnest and want to have our sins forgiven regardless of what our other problems are. Let's get the sins forgiven, and then the other problems will not be near as important. When we die, we sleep in the dust. However difficult our sleep was in this life, however we may have tossed in our beds with discomfort or have been disturbed by our dreams, when we sleep in the dust, our sleep will be absolute. If one could seek us in the morning, we shall not be. As we consider that we must shortly die, must shortly sleep in the dust, and perhaps may die suddenly without warning, this makes us very much desire to get our sins pardoned and have our iniquities taken away, because it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. And so we bring chapter 7 of Job to a close.